This show is brought to you by Texture. Gain access to all of the top magazines, including back issues and bonus video content at texture.com/Joey. And the best part, Texture is offering our listeners a free trial right now when you go to texture.com/Joey. That's texture.com/Joey. And the show is brought to you by MeUndies. Go to MeUndies.com/Joey right now and check out all of their men's and women's underwear, socks, t-shirts. They have amazing clothing that's the most comfortable you're ever going to wear. And the best part, shipping is free in the U.S. and Canada when you go to MeUndies.com/Joey, and you also get 20% off of your first order. That's MeUndies.com/Joey, and go to Onnit.com and use code word CHURCH to save 10% on all of the great optimization products like Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, and Shroom Tech Sport.
Oh shit. Kick that fucking muley. There's some real heroin music. It's a Monday night, bitches. June 6th. 6/6/16. I haven't heard this album in fucking years. I put it on the other day. I almost shot myself.
Is this the one with Loud Love on it?
My good eye.
No, this is the one with... This is Bad Motor Thing.
Oh, yeah. I like Loud Love.
Loud Love is good, too. What's the name of that album? Louder Than Love or something?
Is it on Louder Than Love, Loud Love? Let's see.
Are you kidding me or what?
Yeah.
Lee Syatt, Marc Maron, Uncle Joey. What's going on there, guys?
Loud Love is on Louder Than Love. Yeah, it's on number 7.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a great album.
Yeah, that's there was a period there where I was just cramming those guys into my head.
Every day for like 2 years.
Right.
That's what I listen to.
It's weird like that when I look at records, because like some records I don't listen to anymore, and then I'll put it on and I'm like, I know this fucking record.
Oh,
and it was because of when I got it, I never stopped listening to it. Over and over again, and then it just kind of goes into the back file.
I will play the fuck out of an album.
Yeah.
For 6-7 months, if it gets me going in the morning. And to be honest with you, all these albums I played the fuck out of growing up. Led Zeppelin 2, I fucking did everything to it. This song here, Sabbath Bloody Sabbath.
I just got into that one.
Oh my God, I woke up to that song. Still, on a Monday morning, I play this at 6 a.m. at the fucking house. Sabbath Bloody Sabbath.
Yeah, I just started listening to Sabbath Bloody Sabbath.
Good fucking album.
It's great album.
Really great album.
Great album.
Santana, Abraxas, when I was a kid, I didn't even know what the fuck Santana was. I ordered this on Columbia House when they would send you fucking albums.
And then you'd have to get your parents to pay for it eventually.
Yeah, eventually.
The collectors start coming.
Fuck you. I would send them on to other people's names.
Yeah.
Like the people next door and the people next door.
The records would come every month. You're like, I didn't ask for this record.
Shit.
Who the fuck wants this Dan Fogelberg record? I mean, I didn't know what it is.
They were already bootlegging albums 50 years ago, Columbia House.
Yeah.
That's how they made their money.
Is that true?
Yeah, if you went and bought Sabbath Bloody Sabbath from a record store and you bought it from Columbia House.
Oh, they did their own pressing.
It was probably
an agreement, though.
Yes, they did their own pressing, so the cover was different. You're like, fuck,
a little different.
It has a different cover.
So, I remember some of the records I got. The Smoker You Drink, I got that Joe Walsh record with the Rocky Mountain Way on it.
How old were you?
I was probably 13 or 14, maybe 12. I got ELO's Greatest Hits for some reason. I got the first Aerosmith record. I remember those three. I remember Rocky Mountain Way. Spent the last year rocking.
I wasn't even a third that cool. You know what I got?
What?
Don McLean.
American Pie. American I already had that, pie. Though. I already had that.
Like, that's what I ordered the first time.
Yeah.
Some BG album. It wasn't Saturday Night Live.
No, it was before. So those they weren't bad then. Before the disco thing, they were all right.
That fucking album I ordered.
Abraxas, yep.
Oh, Jesus. Like Earth, Wind, and Fire album I ordered.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
And you didn't get to choose, right? It was just you sent in for stuff and...
That was the ad. Get 9 albums for 1 penny.
Oh, that was
so
it.
So you marked the boxes and then you put 1 penny.
You had a choice, though.
You Scotch taped it.
They had a list.
And you just mailed it. Postage was already paid for. Nothing. An idiot could do it.
They had a list, though, right?
They had a list. Yeah, everybody. At that time, they had all the hot albums. Captain and Tennille. Anything that was hot in that fucking time.
Yeah, Joey was rocking out the Muskrat Love back
I'm
in the day.
I'm telling you. I had, when I first
smooth fucked, sounds. When I the first, captain.
When I first fucked over Columbia House, I fucked them for garbage.
Yeah.
Garbage. Then I got hip and I started sending them to people's houses on my block. Janine Tristano.
But you go check the mail, you say my shit come yet?
How'd I'd stay outside and if I saw the mailman drop the box off. You knew what the box looked like. You had either 9 cassettes in there or 8 tracks or the fucking albums.
That reminds me of that story.
What?
I was just waiting for a truck because I thought there was some blow on it. That was a funny story.
Hit me. We're here. We got till 9:30. What's the problem?
I was like when I was in it, when I was doing the blow, you know, like I didn't have a hookup. I was at Acme. You know, I was in Minneapolis. You know, it was cold and I just finished like an 8-ball or something. I don't even think it was Coke. Me and my buddy Azel finished it. I think it was Speed. And you know, it was like the Saturday. I just wanted some blow. So I called our buddy Bob. I'm not going to use any last names out here. Because he had a hookup. And I'm like, dude, you know, could you just, you know, I'll FedEx you money for an 8-ball. And you FedEx it back. So I FedExed him money for an 8-ball. I guess
how do you FedEx money? You just put money in an envelope.
Cash money in an envelope. And I sent it to him. And he was going to FedEx it right back. And he goes, okay, I did it. It's coming. He said, I hid it in some peanut butter. It's in a bag. And he had a big story. He had a tracking number. And the next day, I'm in front of the fucking club waiting for that goddamn FedEx truck. And it pulls up. And I'm like, do you have a package? Mark Maron, care of Acme? And the guy's like, could you get off the truck? I'm like, what? No package. The guy fucked me. Like, there's nothing more disappointing than being led that far down the line with it. Like, hey, it's coming. It's in it. It wasn't in peanut butter. That's someone else's story. That I remember that story. It was. He said he packed it in a videotape that he opened, like, to hide it. Yeah, had a whole fucking thing, and it didn't come. And it was it was heartbreaking, Joey. Heartbreak. It's the heartbreak. You know, you just think you're going to be good.
That's such a scumbag move because your heart. They don't understand that you...
He understood.
They have no fucking understatement.
Like he went and got an 8-ball with my money. He made good on it later. Years later.
I used to have when I first moved to Basalt, Colorado, I would... You know, when I got there, I didn't want the cat to get out of the bag, so I controlled myself for a few weeks.
Yeah.
So the guys I was living with, there was one guy that he'd always be sniffling. I knew what time it was.
Yeah, yeah.
And one day, you know, we got in the conversation. I go, I'd love to do a line now. And he's like, oh, I can't get you on, you know, the cops and all this shit. And I knew his brothers. I grew up with him. You know, he was just a scumbag, this guy. So I had two other roommates. It was 4 of us in this huge house. And one day I hear him on the phone, just send it to the P.O. box. And so he would go to work. I'd take his P.O. He would leave the key hanging.
Yeah.
I'd take the key and I'd hitchhike a ride to Aspen. And I'd go to the mailbox, and there it was. The guy would send him an 8-ball from here.
Yeah.
And after like 3 of them, I would hear him arguing with the guy. I didn't fucking get it, I'm telling you. I'm going to have to go down there. And I'm giggling in the room doing the fucking coke. You know, I would steal it right from the fucking post office. Who gives a... Listen, the post office is going to rob you.
Yeah.
60% of the fucking...
Is that true?
Especially if you send weed from here and shit. They'll get the envelope ripped open.
You mean they'll just...
So just yank it out of the bag, these postmen.
The postmen take it. They're not throwing it away. It's being used.
Nobody fucking takes a weed and throws, oh, no, I'm an American. If they throw it away, they're going to call the cops.
Right.
They'll dial 911.
So they just smell it and they're like, here it is.
Yeah.
Well, did you guys ever worry about that? Because you always hear stories about FBI agents or whatever posing as FedEx people. And as soon as you accept the package, they arrest you.
Well, I ain't in the racket anymore, so I don't have to worry about shit.
The thing is that
you don't have to do that with weed anymore. No one has to send weed anywhere.
You could send coke one time. Like, if you're in a bind and you send me, like, toys for mercy, you could say, I put something extra in there for you. And when I get the box, once you do it every week, like those guys that get busted, that's because they do it every week and there's a bird. Somebody says, hey, they're sending coke or something like that. But an 8-ball, it's amazing. I had a friend that would fly every week with an 8-ball in an envelope and his fucking grind it up in his wallet.
In the plane? They're not looking for that shit.
That, right through, in his wallet, like, next to his credit card. It's a little bindle with a fucking 8-ball in it. Grind it up.
They're not looking for that.
Okay, because I have a question. I got pulled twice because I went.
Oh, they pulled you on the way back too.
On the way back, so I'm not sure if there's just a number of TSA when they pull you aside, or if there's actually something. I don't know. Maybe my detergent, but I got pulled twice.
They found out that you got ejected from the South Point, and you're an international fucking THC smuggler. Who the fuck knows?
You know what's? You know what sets the bomb guy, dogs or the? My chick was she had a cut. And she put hydrogen peroxide on it.
Done.
Next day, she went to the airport, and they did a read on her, and she had to get searched from hydrogen peroxide.
Lysol. I have sleep apnea machine.
Yeah.
So I wipe it every night, and I wipe it in the mornings. Yeah, in the morning. So I have it on my hands. I wipe it before I put it in the bag, so no germs grow in there.
With Lysol?
9 out of 10 times. Do you know right after 9/11, they pulled me off a fucking plane?
Like, for what?
After the fact, they came. Joe Jose Diaz, please come to the fucking front gate. I came up. They go, we got to hold you to the next flight. Thank God it was those Tempe flights.
Yeah.
You know, every hour, every hour.
Right.
It wasn't Southwest. It was the other company that goes there.
Yeah.
Not Air Tran, but somebody else goes from LAX.
JetBlue?
No.
One of those weird airlines. Spirit?
I don't even mention Spirit to Uncle Joey.
What is that? That's like Cuban Airlines.
The worst is Frontier. That's a Cuban airline.
All right.
You don't know if you're going to get there. You don't know where you're going to land. And you don't know if you just give them money. It's like a fucking magical mystery tour.
You know, when you take those flights, like you go to like a Miami airport and you see like Spirit or something, and you look at the waiting area, you're like, what the fuck is going on?
I took Spirit once. I couldn't even stand up. The rows are so close together.
Oh, no. You make a big mistake with those. Those are a one time. I'll never do those again. The one ain't bad.
Which one?
The one you said before.
JetBlue?
No. And JetBlue's supposedly not bad.
That's what I just took. It was great.
JetBlue's nice.
A lot of people like JetBlue.
I liked it at the beginning because it was new planes. They had these new French planes, really nicely built. You know, all the seats were comfortable. Everyone had a TV set. But then after a while, you're like, yeah, the blue chips aren't, you know, they're all right. But yeah, I'd like the option of maybe upgrading to a bigger class. You know, you want to have the option. I don't pay for first class, but if I get the points, like eventually you got to commit. Like I commit to American and I'll fly all the time I'm fucking American just so I can get on the plane first with my bag and I don't have to check shit.
That's me.
And, yeah. So I just want to have that status. Give me a little status. If you start just going, you know, piecemeal, like, you know, this cheap one here just so you do a.
No,
a
you're dead. You're
no,
dead.
You didn't get no, you're no, you got no not, loyalty. You got no one's going to help you out. You're nobody.
You know, 15, 16 years ago, there was a place by the airport.
Yeah.
But you took a ticket, went online, they got you the cheapest available seat the day before.
Right.
CheapAir.com, I think they're still around, whatever the fuck they were. They used to be able to go to the website. I'd be at the Miami Improv, and I never had plans to take the fucking train to South Carolina, to Myrtle Beach. But I'd go on there, and I'd get like $49 flights that same
day. Before.
Day before.
Because they just want to fill
to
the
Myrtle
seats.
Myrtle Beach to NYC, you know, Kennedy. This is way prior to 9/11.
But also
this is
now
98, like, 99.
There was fewer planes, so it was a big deal. Now it's like, yeah, it's like you can find a flight for a reasonable price, right? I mean.
But this summer, the flights went up again. And you sit there.
Is it bad?
It's fucking bad. I seen some of those. I was supposed to be in Albany this week. If I tell you what they wanted for the flight to Albany, I know who covered the week, and I called them and said,
"Well, you got flying to Buffalo?
You
got to
fly into fucking JFK and take a
little plane, right? A little plane."
The base ticket was $606 on American
round trip.
Round trip, the little one, all the way at the end was $606, and when you went to those flight things, they were $598.
Nothing.
$596. Yeah. Same thing. So by the time you pay taxes, it's $607.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck? I could have got my points and flown like a doctor and at least been able to negotiate with Upgrade. Now you blew your fucking Upgrade.
Right.
Now you blew the fucking Upgrade. Listen, I live on Upgrades. I'm an Upgrade
with the airline.
American.
Me too.
I know exactly where they're going to upgrade me and where they're not going to. They're going to upgrade you to Chicago or JFK.
No.
I got it one time. I got business section on the way back.
Right.
Very tough to go to JFK. Those tickets, $2,300.
Yeah.
To JFK. Look them up, Lee Syatt, to go next week from LAX to JFK on American.
Yeah, I don't. You got to find the JFK. LaGuardia's a fucking
No, LaGuardia's a nightmare.
The worst. What the fuck's
JFK
going on?
JFK is crack-a-lacking like a motherfucker.
Did you ever read that article about how they stack planes up over that fucking... Those airplanes, I don't even want to know about it. I think it was LaGuardia. Sometimes they got like a dozen circling in layers. Like they're just like a tier of circling airplanes waiting to... I don't even want to think about it. Because when you like, even when you watch LAX, those planes coming in every 2 seconds, they got a circle. So they just route them. So like these air traffic controllers, they got, it's like psychedelic. They got just vertical spirals of circling airplanes waiting to come in. And it's just, I can't even think about it. And LaGuardia is supposed to be one of the worst with that shit.
Yeah. How much?
It's loading. I did the Thursday to Sunday to see what it would be.
What's that for? To JFK from here?
Mm-hmm. All right. So you want first class?
No. Just basic JFK.
Okay. Hit. Basic is 6:34 for the 6 a.m. flight.
You should go.
No. I'm just saying, dog, 10 years ago, every flight was three bills.
Right. 304.
That's one way.
One way.
Dog, I'm telling you.
I think so.
It's summertime. Check. They're slinging dick now. You might as well go there with your asshole out and go, take me, I'm yours. This platinum fucking card they give you from American.
Oh, wait, no. It could be a round trip if you want to take the 6 a.m. flight back.
Yeah, 6 a.m. Six bills. Six fucking bills.
Yeah.
Six bills. Say you got a family of four. That's 24 right off the bat. The Uber, $2,500 for Uber and a fucking plane ticket. That's if you have a family of four and you want to go back east with your family, you know, family of two kids, mm-hmm. and you and your wife.
Mm.
It's $2,500 with the Uber and American Airlines.
And you were right. First class is $2,409.
Look at his face.
Who pays $2,400?
So I'll tell you who pays. Upgrade. Someone else.
No.
He gets someone else to pay for it.
Everything's an upgrade. So yeah. All those guys that take that flight are business guys. They laugh at Americans' face.
I did enough road work. I got executive platinum last year. I think I'm still holding the executive platinum.
I think I'm platinum. Yeah. What's executive platinum? That's a top tier. Yeah.
But like it means something. Like sometimes you can upgrade.
American Intercontinental. I'll tell you who's banging.
Who?
Delta.
I don't fucking like Delta.
Listen, Delta's got the best flight into JFK.
Some people don't.
Go. See what the price is.
I've not had great experience
Delta,
with their
Delta first
with
class.
Their times.
It's tremendous.
It's better than American first class?
Yes. They treat you like a human being, number one. Number two, they got better food.
Uh-huh.
And number three, if you fly on, they have that one program where you check in, they give you a drink in the morning, they take your thing.
Yeah.
They got beds.
Yeah. Where it's in the lounge?
Delta's got beds that go down on the plane.
Oh, no, they got those on American now, where you get your own. Get your own apartment.
Yeah, plane. You got your own fucking apartment
little burner.
Things. That's why they charge you the 24 bills on American, because you got your own little fucking apartment.
That's the first class, not business.
No, that's
business, you get pretty close to laying down, but not quite laying down. First class, you get an apartment.
Right. First class, business is regular first class in American. Like if you go to Kentucky from fucking LA, how much Delta?
All right, a little bit. It's 6:28, but it actually first class is only 22:45.
Yeah, they always try.
What are you talking? Yeah, it's like $3 less.
It's $150.
So everybody who takes that flight,
no one's paying for it out of their own pocket.
Nobody's paying for it. So everything is an upgrade. So
an upgrade, or they're being flown by the company.
That right. So I got like, wow, there you hit it on the head.
That's what you're working for. Not the big money. You're working for someone to fly you first class somewhere. Like I'll do the gig. Fly me first class.
You're on the plane first. If you tell the improvs to fly you first class, they'll fly you first class with your own money. They'll take that out of your check one way or another.
Yeah.
Right or wrong. Every comedy club will tell you. First class, You and your buddies? Absolutely.
Sure.
Everybody. You want champagne on the first class?
Half the house is papered.
Oh, my God. You get a fucking bill at the end because those four fucking savages you brought with you, they ate and drank all weekend. Yeah. Like they thought everything was on the arm. And all of a sudden, the guy goes to the back and goes, what happened to the fucking...
no one's getting paid. Dudes? Hope you had a
Nobody's
good time.
Fucking getting paid. Let me ask you something.
What?
I was watching, promotion sent me the trailer today.
Of you?
Of you and I. And I'm watching the trailer and I'm watching you. And
it's been a great shooting days.
I'm thinking about
Joey and the Rooster.
Oh my God!
You just made a short film.
Chickens, dog.
Guy was fucking. I got to get you. I wish I could get those outtakes. I should just pull those outtakes.
I was so scared of the chickens.
I couldn't believe it. It was the best thing. What were you going to say? I'll tell the story in a minute.
Nah, there's no story.
You're watching it.
I'm going to say to you that I'm watching this trailer and I'm watching you. And, you know, one of the creepiest fucking nights, I got to tell you, I had in L.A. I had to think hard about this. I've had like three creepy nights. And all of them were in the Coaching Horses.
Oh, yeah.
All of them, I had to go through the Coaching Horses.
Yeah.
Guys, the Coaching Horses was a real old school bar with L.A. people.
I had a couple of creepy ones.
Yeah, that was a creepy place.
Oh, dude, and, I had one, yeah.
But one night I was in there, joined out of my mind.
Yeah.
I got some Coke and Silver Lake by that Cuban bakery up there. Listen to me, I was going to an audition and I got lost.
Yeah.
And I go down this block and I hear gunshots.
Yeah, and you're like, oh.
You can't write this fucking shit. This could only happen to Uncle Joey.
Yeah.
And I pull over and I look up and the cop's got a shotgun. And the guy's on the fucking floor, and people are running, and the guy's got a gun. And so I'm sitting there watching this shit. And all of a sudden, I go to cut over, and I hear boom, and my tire goes out. I'm like, what the fuck? It's 3:35. I just got up here. I got out of traffic. I got a little lost. Not, and the helicopters are flying around me. My flat tire goes off. What am I going to do? I didn't even have a fucking cell phone in those days. I pulled over, and I went up to whatever Sunset is, and I called Marilyn Martinez. And Marilyn Martinez lived in Silver Lake at the time when it was broken down. This is 98 when this shit was going down. 99. You were here. 98. Wow. 99. Yeah, 98 you were here. 97. It was my first year here.
I was coming out here and there. I didn't live here, though. 97.
Okay, yeah. So I go to, her husband comes over, we take the tire, we go to that neighborhood, they got those tire things on the hill up on Sunset. If you keep going up on Silver Lake, they got those $5, they got a tire for you. Mm-hmm. How much you got? $4, hold on.
Yeah.
Guy comes back with a tire, he puts crazy glue on the hole.
Mm-hmm.
So I put one of those tires on, and all of a sudden I start talking to Dave, was the guy's name. And he goes, you know, my brother-in-law is Cuban. He just got out of doing 11 years for distribution. I said, no shit. He goes, you want to meet him? I go, yeah, let's go over there and talk to him. I go over there. He's got these saints. They just killed a chicken. They're dressed in white. My type of fucking Cubans. I start talking. Two, three minutes in, the guy right off the bat goes, get un pase. As soon as they say, get un pase, you're in. That means you want a bump.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He comes out, takes a rock out of a suitcase. Brah! I do a line, dog. It's 3:30. By this time, it's 4:30. I do a line. I'm electrified.
Yeah.
Now, my number one rule was no Coke before I went on stage.
Right. It's the middle of the day.
Not even the middle of the day, because that fumes would get into my stand-up. Mm-hmm. I just had this rule. I didn't care. When I saw that rock that he took out, shiny, it was like that old China white pearl. This is 97. This guy just got out of jail.
How great is it to listen to old drug fiends talk about drugs?
So,
and the craziest thing is, I've been with him for 5 years. This is the furthest from what I've seen, so that's why it's so crazy to me, because it's unbelievable.
So, we start talking. One thing leads to another. He goes, yeah, call me anytime you need something. He goes, do you want to take some now? I go, I don't have no money. He goes, nobody comes to my house and leaves short-handed. He goes back in this doctor's bag, plop, takes out 3/4 of a Jibo. Who's better than me? I'm happy as fuck.
Yeah.
But there's only one problem, and I got to look you in the eye and tell you this. I am so fucked up on that little line I did. I can't leave. I was electrified. Like, it was 1980s Coke. My hairs were sticking up. My pupils are dilated. And all I could taste is a Budweiser in a can.
Yeah.
And I get in the car, and I'm out there jawing my brains out. I had to hide the fucking Coke and the spare tire under the fucking thing. And all I had to do was get to... At that time, God knows where the fuck I lived. I lived somewhere in Hollywood. All I had to do was get home. I get home. Guess what? I put away the package like a gentleman. I got in those days, Mitzi used to lurk.
Yeah.
You know, you cancel on Mitzi in those days. It was 2 weeks without a spot.
I haven't got a spot anymore.
So it was like a Tuesday night. I do the spot. It's black night.
Yeah.
And I go down there, and all of a sudden, I do two bumps of this shit. Let me tell you something. I'm the laziest fuck in the world. I walk from the store directly to Coaching Horses. There's a liquor store.
After the store, you go to Coaching Horses.
I mean, there's a liquor store.
Yeah.
Let me tell you how much I drank. Like, when I used to do, I don't drink.
Yeah.
I don't like it. But in those days, once I did the third line, it was over.
Yeah.
Well, you see these guys, I'll drink anybody under the table. You're not going to fuck with Joey Diaz.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah.
And I remember walking from the store, and the first liquor store I stopped was by the Chateau Marmont. And then I drank a fucking Budweiser like a savage, New York style.
Refreshing.
The big can. Cold.
Yeah.
And I was joining the cocas in my throat. And it was that sweet Chinese. And I could taste it. And I walked all the way up to another liquor store. Was past Fairfax, next to the Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah.
Where the Blockbuster Video used to be.
Yeah.
I got another can of beer there. Boom. I'm fucked up. I'm going in the bushes. I'm taking powder. I'm doing it in my nose. Meanwhile.
So is anything going, like, what's happening? Because
it's an upper downer all around her. You understand me?
He's sweating and he's looking around walking on Sunset.
On Sunset. It's 11:15. I'm headed to the Coaching Horses.
Oh, that place.
I walk in the Coaching Horses. It's you, Schubert, Dave Fulton.
We were there?
Everybody, 10 comics were there, and everybody was fucking doing blasts. I remember going to that bathroom, and the bathroom was small. Remember Dave Fulton?
Yeah, he's in England or something.
I'm putting water in my nose, and I was parked on Josh Wolf's block. That's where I lived, in the car part-time and in his house part-time. And I was parked over there, and I got so... I saw you guys. I said two or three words to you guys. I couldn't talk. Yeah. That cocaine high when you can't talk. That's how good the blow was.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't talk. Yeah. And I still had a fucking 4/10 of a Jibo left. I'm on fire. I gotta go somewhere and jerk off.
Yeah.
What's a Jibo?
A gram.
Okay.
So I got 4/10 of a gram.
In Joey speak.
And I gotta bang one out.
Yeah. You gotta get down. You gotta come down with a focus.
I fucking crossed the street and there's a 7-Eleven on Curzon.
Yeah.
I bought a can of beer and I ran to that fucking car.
Yeah.
I put the air on, I put the seat back, and I banged two good ones out. It took me an hour and a half of sweating and putting coke on my dick and fucking
You felt better though.
Oh my God, I came and then I could paranoia went away, the initial paranoia.
You want to go back to the bar?
And I went back to Coaching Horses and you guys were leaving with broads. They were broads and you guys were going to somebody's house. And I was too coked out to even have a conversation. But I knew that going in.
Yeah, that bar was evil.
That bar was evil. And I wasn't going to, you ever get those guys that are annoying and then they show up and now they can't talk and they're drinking? I didn't want to be that guy. That was my guy.
There was always like a contingent of like relatively healthy kind of young people. And then there was always these old fucking druggies there.
Just who jerks off?
Yeah, I was going to say.
On a car around the corner from El Compadre.
Twice.
And one time I jerked off on like a clean shirt.
Yeah.
And the other time like a pillowcase. I mean, it was just disgusting.
It was a way to get down. You know what I mean? If you didn't have nothing to get you down, it was a way just to fucking get level.
Oh my God. I just remember that was one of the first times I saw you like rocking. And nobody was talking. Nobody. Everybody was at the bar, elbows up, looking straight ahead.
Yeah. I used to go there occasionally when I was in town doing that shit. Yeah. Jimmy was always kind of like, he'd go right to like, what's going on? You hear something? Like, it was never, there'd be a line out, he'd do it, and then it's like, check the closets. There was no good time in between, the line and, checking the closets. You know what I mean?
I was shooting the movie Basketball.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking moron, Mark Maron.
Which one? Which movie?
Basketball. I come to town.
Yeah.
They send me to 20th Century Fox.
Yeah.
And they tell me, and they go NYPD Blue.
Yeah.
I go to NYPD Blue, eat a bag of shit. It's 9 pages, Spanish, English. I can't cut this.
Yeah.
I'm walking back, and as I'm walking, a lady pops out and goes, are you here for the audition?
Yeah.
And she looks at me and goes, yeah. And she gives me this sign. She goes, learn them and come back in 5 minutes. I go back. I don't know nothing about nothing, Mark Maron. Mark Maron, not even a school play.
Yeah.
Okay. I go in, blah, 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 blah. I read, thank you for coming in. All right, boom, I go. I'm living in a hotel on Schrader. There's a hostel.
Uh-huh.
It's now a hostel.
Yeah.
Then it was $27 a day. Mm. You had a 3-week limit.
SRO.
Oh, my God. I would go there every night. Did
you have a hot plate?
No, I just stayed on Hollywood Boulevard and got malaria and everything else that comes with it.
Yeah.
I lived in that place. Because you could only live there for 3 weeks of the shot.
Yeah.
So I lived there for 2 weeks, go on the road, 10 days go on the road. So I never made
it. What year is this?
This is 90 fucking 7.
Yeah.
Okay. And when they call, it was like the Rocky Hotel.
Yeah.
Somebody would go, is there a Joey Diaz in here?
In the hallway phone.
In the hallway.
Pay phone in the hallway.
Hey, are you Joey Diaz? Yeah. You got a call downstairs. I remember walking downstairs, picking up the phone. They're like, hey, man, it's your manager, Ken Phillips. What's up, Ken? Listen, you got the movie Basketball. I'm like, what are you talking about? goes, yeah, it's 3 weeks, $5,500 a week. What are you talking about? $5,500. In the back of my mind, I'm like, that's about 50 fucking grams. Like everything you talk
by
to us,
a kilo.
When you're fucking, when you're doing blow, every time somebody talks to you, like, how much does it pay? $250. You're like, that's a half eight ball. I can make my car payment. You know, but every time was some amount of coke came into that math figure. So I
get. So when you hear 50,000.
Oh my, 5,500 for 3 weeks. But there was a catch. I had to pay for my own SAG. APA got them to fucking waive the fee.
Oh, Taft Hartley in?
Taft, no, no, pay it.
You already
the producers paid it.
Right.
In those days, they would talk to producers. You want them, you got to pay the producers. There's a new kid on the block. No Gidas. Boom. They put me in there. Dog, I was a 24-hour medicine there because I'm a comic, Mark.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is to wait.
Yeah.
How much longer? 2 more hours. What are you talking about? You know, what the fuck
sitting in the trailer?
Yeah, practicing roller skating.
Yeah.
So eventually, the street in me came out. What do you think I started doing? Stealing roller skates from the big truck. They had a big truck. They had like 18 pairs of 13.
So you're waiting to shoot, and you're stealing rollers.
Every night, I'm taking a pair of roller skates, taking it to the ski chalet, three bills plus tax. I'm taking back cash. Every day, I went there with, I had to wait till one guy got off, one guy got back on. Every day. They finally knew it. They're like, what do we get?
On top of $5,500 a week.
Yeah, on top of, and I didn't even get a check
and
yet.
Now
I'm living off $15 checks and living at a hostel, you know, and all of a sudden, I'm stealing roller skates.
Now there's like 10 other guys telling the story from the other side. We had this guy.
Oh my God.
I think his name was Joe. Stealing fucking skates every night, thinking no one knew it.
Oh my God, every night until they only had like up to size 6 and a half. But here's the clinker. For 2 weeks, I'm in there every day, 6 to 9. Nobody says two words to me. I'm sitting there watching McCarthy, the chick, doing fucking hitting the bag.
Jenny?
With her monkey sweating.
Yeah.
She's out there in 90 degree weather doing karate. And that was my highlight of the day.
Watching her work out.
So one night I go to the store. Who do I team up with?
Jenny McCarthy?
Jimmy Two Shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Boom. You know, what are you going to do? Not unless one thing leads to another. Don't worry about it. When you get paid, you come see me. You know, he had just gotten his deal. He's out there fucking every night. He got the leather jacket.
Yeah.
He got the fucking Camry. Remember? Look at that Camry. What do you think? It's the first Toyota in my family. Tremendous. I team up with that lunatic, and we go up to Los Feliz. When he lived up on the hill there, I got to tell you, Mark Maron, we did a couple of bumps. Next thing you know, we're both on the floor.
Yeah.
Crawling because there was somebody outside. Because I was okay.
Good time.
Oh, my
Good
God.
Time.
I was okay in those days until you got creepy.
Yeah.
Like, once I caught you looking out the window, that's it. That's all you needed.
Yeah.
That's it. There went the night.
Oh.
That eight ball is done. Either you're going to snort it or we're going to throw it away because there's cops out there.
I never got that. I was never that guy.
In 20 years of doing blow, you never got paranoid.
What? No, I didn't. I don't know why.
Did you see somebody get paranoid?
Yeah.
Who? A lot of people.
Well, Jimmy used to get, like, yeah, but some guys just did that. You know, so that was what happened. You know what I mean? It was a certain type of guy. You know, it was never my thing. I would get I never got the fucking paranoid thing.
Oh, my God. I was fine.
I get more paranoid on weed.
For years, I was fine. I was a soldier at that.
Well, that's what happens.
So at about the 6.5 year mark was where I started seeing things and hearing things.
Oh, well, no. Well, okay. Well, when I hit the wall.
Oh, yeah. And then the 7 year mark. I hit the wall.
When I hit the wall, there was a lot of voices. But the paranoia wasn't about cops. It was about, like, fucking, like, aliens.
Well, yeah. No. There was no aliens in my world.
But not aliens, but somebody, the forces. I understood the forces of evil. And there was people that might be working for him. Like, people I knew, like, that's one of them. He's undercover for the forces of evil. Like, I was fucked up with the psychosis. But never, like, on a casual night that I think cops were coming. But when I finally lost my mind, I'm pretty sure I was at the store. I'm like, I'm a secret agent. I'm supposed to be here to understand what's going on here. Satan's got a hold of this place. And I got to spread the word. I had to go.
Yeah, I had a conversation with Lito 1 a.m. after the Comedy Store. And I shook while I was telling Lee. And I shook until I went to my living room and took a fucking Xanax, like a 0.5. I shook. Just going.
Talking about it?
You know, learning about psychology. We're psychology majors.
Yeah.
You know, you know, I was telling Lee one night I ran out of Blum in Boulder, Colorado. It's 2 a.m.
Yeah.
I call my roommate. My roommate's a deal. I can't fucking find this Blum. I call him up. Come over here. There's a party. I go over there. There's like 8 people laying around this Blum where I'm doing little bumps. I go, where's the bathroom? I go, the one in the back clogged up. You have to go downstairs. I go downstairs. There's a chick downstairs, another chick. And I pee and I come out. She's like, you want to do a line? I do a line with her. She's telling me about her kids, how she's married. You know, tomorrow, what is she going to do? It's 2 a.m. She has to go to a little league game at 9 a.m.
Horrible.
Next thing you know, she's like, you want to play a game of ping pong?
Yeah.
We're playing ping pong.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, do you want to gamble? I'll gamble. Dollar game. We're doing coke. We're drinking beers.
Yeah.
Fucking sun starts coming. And she starts telling me, like, you want to gamble and play strip? Ping pong? You know me, dog. I'm up for anything. I mean, this girl was 34, hot.
Yeah.
You know, where's your husband? Watching the kids.
Oh.
I'm playing. She's completely naked. Next thing you know, we're banging on the ping pong table. You know, and you can't explain this to people. Next thing you know, she just gets up like nothing happened. I got up like nothing happened. I went on with my life.
Yeah.
Until a week later that you go, I slept with a married woman with kids.
Yeah.
She sucked my dick with a Coke rock on it over a ping pong table. You know, and she got up, went, and went to a little league.
Well, it's like a different time zone. You know, you enter this zone when you're up
doing that. Look, I'm shaking.
Yeah.
Look at me.
Well, you do those all-night things. Like, all of a sudden, like, it's like the middle of the night. You don't know what time it is. Everyone's jacked on coke, and shit happens. Weird shit happens. And it takes a couple of days to get back to normal time zone. But then you're sort of like, what the fuck was that? And then you see the person again, maybe. You're like, don't talk about it.
Is it like, you know how sometimes I say, like, stuff when you're drunk, what you really want comes out? Is it that? It, like, when you're on coke, is it what you really want?
Well, no, it's just like weird magic happens. Like, it's some dark energy that I'm good. Where like, you know, things just become possible that weren't possible. It's not like you're saying things you don't want. It's just like shit gets weird. One thing will happen, and then you're like, is this happening? And then it just, shit just fucking gets weird. It's like that, you know, when I was... Oh, man, you just see people come and go. You lose sense of time. Sometimes days go by and characters come and go and shit happens. Like when I was hanging up there at the store, like, you know, all that shit with Sam and then just like normal shit where you'd go on these 3-day runs because we didn't have nothing to do. And the no cover night was Monday night. So the party would start then. Sometimes it would go till Wednesday and you don't know what the fuck happened or like some. So there was a woman who used to climb in our window. She's the client. She could come in the door, but she'd climb in the fucking window for some reason. And she'd make out and do shit with me and some, and then Schubert. And then, like, she disappeared. And, I, like, years later, I think she's a school teacher now. I don't know. Sometimes you're just somebody's bad phase. You know, they move through, and then they go on to have regular lives. And we're here talking about the other side of it. But
I feel guilty. Like, sometimes you go, Jesus fucking Christ, what did... Like, I started in 1979.
Yeah.
And it started getting crazy.
Well, you're like a Jedi master of it. You're like, I don't think I got as far out, but maybe I give myself, you know, a break. But, like, you know, after the first psychosis, you know, I knew that there was a problem with that. It didn't stop me. I'd stop here and there for a while, but, you know, it just got fucking scary.
For me, it got scarier like in 84 after like 5 years of fucking going nuts with it. Like, I didn't even think of stopping till 84 till shit was. I was living under a rocket ship in northern New Jersey.
A rocket ship?
Like at the park?
Yeah.
At the park.
Are you sleeping outside?
Ships. Oh, it was fucking terrible. Like, it took me that low. Then I got cleaned up for a long time.
I always slept indoors.
Oh, my God. Horrible in November. And then I got clean up for a while, and then I went into this other deeper section. And then I found out years later that, you know, even when you stop doing blow, the addiction still grows. So now I'm dealing with ounces. Mark Maron, I would
open up
an ounce and wake up, there's an 8-ball. And you're like, I really did 21 grams.
Ugh, it's fucking horrible. You're lucky to be alive.
You know, like, you look at it, you know, God gives you a certain amount of heartbeats.
Right, but you know what fucked me is that, like, all that crazy shit, when I got into that psychotic state, I was at the store, it was the late 80s, and I was really out of my mind. And then it took like a year and a half, 2 years to shake the fucking weirdness, to shake the... I'd go to the store and it'd just re-trigger and be like, it's still fucked up. Like, it took like 2 years to get my brain back to where that was just a building. And, you know, I wasn't on some sort of secret mission from the forces of whatever. Like, right when I got to L.A., I'd see the fucking haze over the city. I'm like, I'm back in it. I better start taking notes because there's going to be questions. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I'm going to be summoned. But it took a long time. I was so happy when that shit went away. And that show that we're doing is tomorrow night, man. We should tell people.
Are
people watching?
Right now? People watching, but they'll get it tonight. This will be up an hour after the show ends.
Right. Well, our episode's tomorrow night. It was great. I looked at it. I saw the cut together beautifully. But boy, that was you and the rooster, man.
I hate fucking chickens.
We fucking did. Can I tell the real story about this? Because you were a fucking trooper. You really because I called you on a day's notice.
Go.
So here's what happens. We wrote this fucking episode, right? And I called, I'll be honest with the viewers. You know, Artie Lang was cast in this part. Artie Lang. And we wrote the fucking thing for him, right? And then like 2 days, what was it, 2 days before, I get a call from Artie. He's like, I can't, you know, I thought it was only going to be a day. I'm like, no, it's the full fucking episode. You're in all. He's like, I thought it was going to be, I got a gig in New Jersey. I can't be out there. I don't know what to do. Like, you know, Artie's worked up. He's afraid he's going to relapse. He's got this. He's going to make more money on these gigs. He's giving me this. And I'm like, dude, forget it. Just forget it. And I hang up the phone. I'm like, I don't know what we're going to do. And this kid, who's a writer's assistant, this guy, Sam, this is a young guy. He's working as, you know, just almost a PA, but he's, you know, he's my guy on set. He's like, what about Joey? Why don't you have Joey come back as Bobby? And I'm like, holy fuck, you're a fucking genius. Because it was like, it was you, and it was better because you'd already established on the show we'd done blow together. It was like, that's the way it should have been. So I call you. I'm like, can you do it? You're like, yeah, I'll do it. I'll be there tomorrow. What time? And we did it, and it was I couldn't even imagine it being with anybody else. Like, it was the way it was supposed to be because we already had the fucking relationship. But I'll tell you, there's a scene where you got – I don't even want to tell people what it is, but Bobby – Joey's got to handle a rooster, like a live rooster. There's a situation where he's got to pick it up. He's got to walk with it. And I had no idea that this was Joey's biggest fear in fucking life. Oh. Like, we're like, you ready to look at the – we open the trunk where the rooster is. He's like, I can't do this. I can't do it. You don't understand. I'm Cuban. I can't touch a rooster. They're fucking evil. I can't – it's just too much. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You're the guy that, like, you know, like, you're telling these blow stories. People are shooting guns and shit. You get a chicken around this guy. He's like, oh, no. No, it's not going to happen. But he fucking he steps up. He mans up to the chicken, and he's got to pick it up. We got a chicken handler there showing you how to handle it. And he picks it up, and he does the scene twice, and Rob Cohen's directing. He's like, we got to get it one more time. And Joey's like, that's it, though. One more time, that's it. And he picks it up for the third time, and he puts it down. And Rob's like, wait, maybe we got to do it. And you're like, that's it. That's it.
Oh, my God.
I got to walk away from the chicken. Could not fucking, like, I felt like we did some real work. Like, we solved some real childhood trauma.
Oh, terrible.
I couldn't believe it.
Terrible.
Do you feel like you're over it now? The chicken fear, the rooster?
Listen, I took the chicken. I picked up the chicken as fearful as I am of chickens. I picked it up in this, and I thought about getting needles. I go, the quicker I do this, the quicker we finish. I can't hold 80 people.
Yeah.
If it was just me and Mark go fuck himself with this chicken. I ain't picking up this fucking chicken. Fuck him and Rob Cohen and Rob Cohen's brother and his uncle.
But the whole crew
is
there.
I can't do that to people, Teamsters, people working. I have a phobia. I have a fucking phobia, you know.
It was a big rooster too, man.
He was beautiful,
though. Yeah.
He was fucking beautiful. I mean, beautiful. And he didn't flick at me or nothing, you know, with the stuff. But
yeah.
It's, listen, man, you have no fucking idea.
I couldn't believe we got it. I was like, I don't know how we're going to cut this shit together, but it looks great. It looks great.
I can't believe that you just opened up a can of worms.
Oh, my God.
Because I was, you know, when you grow up Cuban, one day you're eating cereal and all of a sudden you hear a chicken in your bathroom. Yeah. I'm on 88th Street. Why is there a chicken on my bathroom?
Yeah.
And you open it up and you're like, Mom, there's a chicken. Yeah. We're going to do something later with a chicken. What are you going to do with a fucking chicken? We could just go to the supermarket. Panty prize right on Broadway, right fucking
there. So they'd slaughter the chicken?
So they, you know, they'd make noises in Santeria and they'd kill the chicken. And I watched it, you know.
Oh, it's a religion thing.
It's the religion thing. Yeah. So you get traumatized. But once you make saint, you got to mess with those chickens. You got to grab them. And I would just grab the chickens and cry. and then just drop it. And they go, you got to grab the chicken. I ain't grabbing the fucking chicken. And people would stop the black dude on the conga drums. He's got to get the chicken. I ain't touching the chicken. This went on until my mom gave me a beating. Right in the room. You got to pick up
the chicken. So it's real fucking trauma.
Oh, I hate that shit. And then I remember living on, once we fucking left 88th Street. No, in 89th Street, she had a goat one time.
So goats and chickens.
89th and Riverside Drive.
Yeah.
We were white people, Mark. Yeah. He's a white people dentist.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, she's like, hold the elevator.
Got a goat.
Yeah, and we got a goat. You know, and then one time I saw a monkey.
Was it in a cage? Or?
You saw a monkey. What fucking cage? Cubans don't have cage. They don't believe in cage poultry. It was the 70s.
A rope.
It was like they had them by the horns. And they held them and wrestled them. They held the elevator. I'm a little kid going, what the fuck?
Is that was for me? Santeria too?
You kill the goat and then you cook the fucking goat.
The monkey too?
I don't know about the monkey. They had a monkey for some reason. I don't know.
There's what a monkey involved.
I never saw the monkey. Not clear. Stabbed
it was his assistant.
Like, I don't know what happened with the fucking monkey, but I don't.
But you know? I felt like, you know, it was like you. It was like a weird thing we were walking through it with you because you got, you know, it's just like that. It, like I was like, really? And you're like, dude, it's the one thing.
Squirrels,
rooster.
Pigeons. I fucking hate pigeons more than chickens and roosters.
Squirrels, I don't even register anymore. They're around my house, but I don't even notice them. They're like invisible to me. I can't.
But they look at me weird. You follow me? They look at me weird.
See, this is residual from the coke shit. This is coke
from Boulder, Colorado. They've been looking at me weird.
The squirrels are on to you.
Since the halfway house days, they were watching me and shit.
Squirrels are on to you.
Hilarious, Mark.
No, but it looks good, man. It's a funny episode, you know, with the girls, everything. Like, it really worked good. I was so fucking happy you could do it. And it's so much better. I got nothing against Artie, but Jesus, that was some bullshit 2 days before. You got to shoot. And it was like, you were the guy. You were the perfect guy for it.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity both times, my friend.
I wrote that for you.
I had a great time.
I love that fucking episode.
That let me loose in a different way. Like, doing that, like, that opportunity let me loose as an actor, I guess. I don't know. I didn't give a fuck in that
room. I was so, like, meticulous about that episode. I want that to be perfect because, you know, it's delicate. It's a comedian's episode, you know, that story. It's just, I love that fucking episode. It might be my favorite episode of the fucking show. Like, and I don't know why, like, I want to hear from more comedians about it because it's such a, like, it's so specific and so funny. You know, the best part of it at the end is like, I don't fucking care. I'm not even doing the joke anymore.
That is amazing, that ending. Because we've met guys in LA that have the opportunity of a lifetime, and when they look at
that's exactly right. They're like, too much work. Yes,
a deal. I gotta do this.
Hang around.
Listen, I'm going to New Mexico. I know the waitress. He gives tremendous blowjobs. The waiter sells coke. He still owes me from the last time.
Right.
I'm gonna sit in LA and go to the comedy store and wrestle with these savages. Mm-hmm. They ain't got shit going on.
Yeah,
there's a lot of comics on the road that are like that. Mark Maron.
I know
that stay out there till the end, selling roller skates and calendars and fucking, you know.
Does it scare you to think of that? I mean, is that, like, it scared the shit out of me, man. When I started the podcast, when I was looking down at nothing and I had no dates, I'm like, oh, the best that could happen is if I just string along those, like, you know, those, you know, get into that zone where you're doing B rooms and you just, you know, kind of working check to check. And I know a lot of guys do it and I feel for them and, you know, and some of them still love it. And I love doing stand up, but I was terrified of, like, not having a choice. That was what scared me the most. Not having a choice. Taking whatever I had to fucking get by. Like that, the idea of that scared me.
I loved doing comedy.
Yeah.
And I loved doing blow. And I loved everything that came with blow. I liked the line, the bar, and the whole fucking patois. I was really good at it. You know, I'd been doing it for a long time. But there was one individual that changed my whole comedy career. His name was John Fox.
Yeah, I know John Fox.
Rest in peace. From the
first, the comic, not the booker.
No, from the first time I met John Fox at the Laugh Factory,
yeah,
he rubbed me the wrong way because he was already high. He was proud that he was high.
Mm.
He had nothing going on, and afterward, he came right up to me and pitched me about his whole Rodney resume. And I probably had coke in my pocket at that time. Once I had coke in my pocket, I'm at peace. Now you got to give me a fucking ear beating.
Oh, yeah.
About something, you know, the years ago.
The package dance where you're like, wait, fuck. And then when you feel it, you're like,
okay. No, I'm sorry. Keep what were you saying? what were you saying? And they're like, what happened? Nothing. I got an itch. I got an itch in my pants.
Yeah.
But that was the first time he tried to muscle me. And he came to the Comedy Store later on with Paul Rodriguez. And, you know, they were partying. Everybody was partying at the store. This is 97. I had heard, you know, things about John Fox. You know, all good things. But once I saw him. And then I worked at Myrtle Beach. And he came in to do a guest spot.
Yeah.
And he came in with this crack chick. She looked like she had sucked 1,000 cocks and counting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they came in on a scam. They wanted to do a 10-minute guest spot, blow up the room, and then sell CDs afterwards so he could do blow.
And that's where he was at?
That's where he was at in 99. And I was still 7 years away from doing blow. But that memory shocked me because that was my biggest fear. Was ending up on the road telling people about, did you ever see the movie Basketball?
Yeah.
I'm in it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, yeah.
And it's true. You see those guys.
Sure.
You know, I lived in L.A. You got to be a fucking cocksucker to live in L.A. You got to be a faggot, you know. And you sit there in a room going, nah, I'm a feature actor. I live in L.A. and it's great.
Yeah.
Like, I'm doing great. They told me I wouldn't. I'm doing great now.
How many of those guys are still alive? Really?
Comedy is a different animal now.
Right.
If you really think about comedy, you never hear a fucking thing, Mark Maron, about, did you hear what happened in New Mexico?
No.
Such and such got hammered last week. This guy fell off a stool. This guy was doing heroin.
This guy's in jail.
Those days are over with. I mean, Angel.
The feds got that guy.
Angel, Salazar? Recently, he went to jail and whatever. And,
did he?
Yeah, he got arrested in Arizona for child support, $82 or something, like a miscalculation in New York, and they called the club to him back. I don't know what the deal was. But, like, you know, Angel still parties.
Wow.
Angel's still getting down like
it's, check it out.
Yeah, he's still getting down like it. And you see him and you're like, you know, God bless you.
Yeah.
I did not want to be that guy. I did
not. Me neither.
Because after a certain age, it's on you. You know, it's like right now. When was the last time somebody came up to you and said, Mark, I got this fucking coke I got from fucking.
No way anymore.
Nobody comes up to you because it's an aura that's around you. You, like the guy said in the song, there's an aura that's around you.
Yeah,
that's nobody true. Comes up to me.
And yeah, and the people they come around, they yeah, that's right.
There's you feel it. I could,
and they kill guys. Those people. Those people are in every city. You know, they kill Hedberg. You know, like there's no way Hedberg was ever going to stop anything because he'd show up and people like, yeah, he's here. You know, the devil's representatives would show up.
Oh, as soon as he'd get to a town, by the time he checked into his hotel,
it's all set.
The messages were in already. The light was blinking.
Even if you, like those poor bastards, they get into that zone where you can't, even if you want to get out, you can't get out. People expect it from you.
So if you told a dealer, I'm not doing it anymore, would they stop calling or no?
They'd still want to come to the show, and they'll come all three nights until they break you. A good dealer? Like, if I'm your dealer, Lee, and you come to Houston and you say to me, my wife just had a kid. I haven't done it in 32 days. Mm-hmm. You're done. I got you.
Okay. That was why I knew I had to leave when I lost my mind at the Comedy Store. The dealer came up to me, and I go, what am I going to do? He goes, you got to get out of here. You know, when the dealer says you got to go, you better go.
Oh.
It was, yeah, imagine. He was like, yeah, you got to go do your own thing. I'm like, okay. Okay, I'm going to go. I'm going to go. Yeah, but like...
How much were you doing at that point, if you don't mind me asking?
Me?
Yeah.
I was not like it was just sort of a way of life in that I lived at the store, I lived in the house. So someone would come with some, I'd have a package.
Was that your worst run up to the store? Is that your worst run that you had?
For that 8 months? Yeah, that led to me losing my mind. Yeah, that was the worst run. And then after that, I had a guy in New York. I got clean for a while, met a chick that I married eventually. But I had a guy in New York. But I was like a guy like, I was in New York and the dude was on the Lower East Side. And he, you know, I'd get over there early and I think I could get it out of the way. So I'd do Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you know, and I just kind of like, I'd nurse it. You know, I didn't blow out unless I went on the road, and then I'd blow out and I'd come back all beat up. So I always could sort of manage, but I thought I was going to die and I kind of wanted to die. That was what got me, was that like, I can't live like this, but I can't stop. So maybe it'd be better if I just had a heart attack.
I didn't want my wife at that time was my girlfriend. I kept saying, you know what? Whatever I do. But some people in life don't deserve to find somebody on the floor. Purple.
Right.
Yeah. If I'm at the
I never had rules like that. If you're wondering how much I did, I didn't have that rule. Like, well, look, I love you. I don't want you to find me purple.
It's just a policy. Have you ever found somebody?
No.
Not from an OD or anything. Just somebody shot in the head. Somebody got hit by a car.
No, I don't live that life.
It stays with you forever. It could be a relative. I couldn't imagine being in a room with four guys who you love with an 8-ball on the floor and a hooker comes over and everybody's getting their dick sucked and somebody goes, and passes out.
You always thought that was going to happen. That's one of the reasons why I stopped. It's like someone's going to go down, and I don't want it to be me.
It was the same fucking thing. It was the same psychology.
Yeah.
I kept saying, you know what? If I died, it wouldn't matter. But if she finds me, this is going to stay with this poor girl forever, and she don't deserve this. You know? And every morning I wake up, Mark Maron, the other night I put narco on. A friend came over, and they're like, do you have narco? I want to watch. I'm like, okay. And then we were talking. I thought about it. How lucky my life was. And all of a sudden today, the chick from IFC sent me the trailer. And I saw a picture of you, and I'm like, how lucky are we? This fucking guy, how lucky is he that you got the greatest second chance of all fucking time? You and Bernard King. You know Bernard King?
No.
Played for the Knicks.
Oh, yeah?
Great. He went out to the Golden State Warriors, got the comeback player of the year, then they got him back the Knicks, and he just destroyed the league for 3 years. That's what you did. You were a comeback fucking player of the year.
Yeah.
How lucky are we that we don't...
I can't... And the other thing I knew, like, you know, because I'd let it all go, was that, like, I could show up for work. You know, that's the other thing, that for whatever reason, you know, by the time I started the podcast, I was like, that ain't going to happen for me. I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to do this, see what happens. Yeah, you know, there's, you know, I don't sell tickets. I'm not going to be a big comic. I'm not going to have a TV show, but I'm going to just work and try to make something happen. And I let it go. I seriously let it go. Like all the, you know, sort of the expectation. I'm just sort of like, I blew it. So now I'm going to sit in my garage and do this and just be honest and see what happens. And then it started to come. And when I got the opportunities, the one thing I knew that I would never have known any other time in my life was like, I can do this. I mean, I can show up for work. I don't give a fuck. Like I can, I'm not afraid of this shit. I didn't think this was going to happen. And I just, you know, like, so I had a confidence. Like, I knew the first season was going to be dicey with the acting. I knew if I got another season, I'd probably get a little better. You know, I just knew all this stuff from watching other guys. And then with the stand-up, I'm like, I know how to do this. Something just click. Like, I'm starting to draw crowds. And I'm like, I used to sit backstage before I went on. I'm like, I got fucking nothing. This is going to suck. That fucking table's bullshit. How the fuck, you know, the middle just blew me away. What the fuck am I, you know, this is fucked up. And I go out on stage with that attitude. And now, like, I'm like, I get to a place where I'm working. I'm like, I'm just going to look at the stage. I want to sit up there before the crowd comes in. I'm like, this is going to be fun. You know what I mean? Like, it all just, like, you know, I'm excited about it. And I don't think that would have happened in any other time. And it wouldn't have happened had I given a fuck. Because honestly, Joe, I don't, like, there's part of me that just doesn't give a fuck. And, like, and that's, like, that's threatening to people. Because they're like, you know, we might want you to, like, no, I don't care. Yeah, maybe I'm not going to do it. Come on. I don't know if I can do.
It's amazing to say that you don't care and it's over 700 episodes.
Well, no, the podcast is my heart and my life. You know, the podcast is something that me and my business partner and producer, Brendan, have complete control over. And that's there and that's its own thing. That became this thing that I could never have expected. And we make a nice living off it. But the other stuff, the TV stuff, now when people are like, you want to jump through hoops for anything? I'm like, nah, really? I don't really need to.
Why would you?
Yeah. And so when the opportunity came to do the show and we did it, it was like they gave us like complete creative freedom, you know, and I was just with a bunch of guys. I was nervous about things and I made sure the stories were right and stuff, but I just didn't, you know, I wasn't afraid of anything and I didn't see those people as having power over me anymore. That's the one thing that went away. You know, when you got me and my Brendan, we weren't business guys. We didn't know what the fuck a podcast was going to do or what. We just knew we were going to do it twice a week and this was going to be the thing. And then as this model grew and people started to figure out how to make a little money, we grew with it. And then that was that. And then all of a sudden it's like we got our own business. So this other shit is sort of like, yeah, maybe I'll do it. You know, and that changed everything. But it's like, to have done a TV show, it's interesting. I did all the things that a comic wants to do. Like, you always want to do your own show. And I did, the comedy specials. But it's so funny because I did it off to the side still. Do you know what I mean? There wasn't the network pressure. There wasn't the fucking freaking out. It wasn't like my special's not on HBO. So it was this thing where, like, I could do it with a certain amount of peace of mind and a little more control and, like, you know, do it exactly the way I want it. And the people that find it, and that's that.
Do you think when I walked into fucking Felicia's garage and did a podcast with her that we'd be here? Did you think 20 years ago
that no.
the podcast would
no.
do what this did? I mean, did you think that the president would be on a fucking podcast?
In my house? No.
I mean, who thought about it? Nobody knew. When we got behind the microphones, I had no idea. I was going to get a job selling cars.
Were you?
Right down the corner. I just couldn't figure out how to pee in the bottle clean because I had that THC.
But you talked to the guy, though?
I went over there.
Yeah?
I went over there, and I talked to the guy, and I told him I had done this in college, and I was going to close at Douglas Toyota. The guy goes, let me check some references. Boom. Come and go pee.
Oh, thank God.
And I told him the truth. I said, listen, man, it's hot. So you got to give me a couple days. I got to get my your kids pee or something. And then that whole thing, I started this with Felicia, and next thing you know, it grew, and we got together with Lee, and it's just been, at times I feel like Justin Bieber,
mm-hmm.
but I know that I've done other things in the business, that I'm not Justin Bieber. Like I've done movies and TV mm-hmm. shows and shit and stand-up. So I love it. Listen, what they're paying for TV today, like I just got a guest star offer on a fucking CBS show a month ago, and I'm like, 8 days? I can't better go on the road for 3 days.
That's right.
That's the point. Yeah. I'm going to move for 3 days and have a great time, have a hotel room, and yeah. order room service.
Right.
Go down to isn't the Sakiyaki bar.
Isn't that amazing?
Unbelievable.
That you make those choices. Like, you back in the day, you would drop everything.
You'd cancel the club.
Cancel everything.
Cancel next week because I want to rest.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to win an Emmy for this
yeah.
shit.
Yeah.
This is going to change yeah. my life.
You would burn a bridge at a club to do a fucking audition. Like you would like, you get this fucking call. You'd have a Friday and a Saturday, and they need you to fly out today. We can't put it on tape, and you're like, hey buddy, I gotta. So you burn that club, and then you go do. That's why I'm on the road. I got fucked. Like I never stayed out there in any consistent way. I never knew you had to build relationships with club owners. I would take any sort of like opportunity to try to audition or whatever, and think that was just part of it. And then like I didn't have no, you know, I couldn't go really on the road.
Towards the end. I did the longest yard in 2005. And after I did the longest yard, I fucking went deep, Mark Maron. And my body created this anxiety.
Yeah.
That I just got this weird feeling on fucking planes. So I started canceling gigs, either A, because of the paranoia getting on the plane, or B, because of auditions. Do you know how many fucking weeks I used to cancel?
Yeah, because you want a break.
I didn't give a fuck.
You want a break, yeah.
I didn't give a fuck. I didn't know about the relationships and the people who remember. And
I used to do horrible things. I just told a story the other night about, like, I just used to think, like, it's all about me. So I remember one time I was in this is how I learned this weird lesson about that, you know, people have lives. I was at Zany's in Chicago, and I didn't draw. I was nobody. You know, and I was headlining though, and there was like 12 people in the room, and I was doing one of those sets where it's just like I was on stage for like an hour and a half, you know, just way over, just because I thought like I'm working shit out. That's what this is for, and I go, well, that's it for me. I'm gonna bring the host back up, and I just hear the bartender from the back of the room go, "He went home." I'm like, oh, that's not. Oh, there's other people. Like, lives. I could have just got off at an hour like a fucking pro, but I'm just gonna drag. Fucking Thursday night people down this hole with me. It was a sad moment, but I'm not great with the empathy back then, you know, and I'm just sort of like, all right, I may respect some people.
I used to be a club in Beaumont.
In Texas?
And I was friends with Slade for years. I love Slade dearly. And he would book me twice a year, fly into Houston, do the Thursday night in fucking Houston, and then drive.
He's up in Oregon now, right?
Slade Ham?
Oh, Slade, that's his first name. Oh,
that's,
okay.
Oh, you're talking about the other Slade. And he bought this room with a partner.
Yeah.
For years he did this room. He didn't know his partner was stealing his coke, his blow for coke.
Yeah.
It was a pretty solid room. It was a Houston-type crowd. They would come up from New Orleans. To make a long story short, I did 2 weekends there, Mark Maron, that I still try to do community service by helping out comics to replace what I did there.
Right. Oh, really?
I went there 1 weekend, and they were just giving me Mexican Coke, that chunk shit,
yeah,
by the pound.
Yeah.
I couldn't, you know what I'm saying?
With the hard shit?
Yeah.
Like chicken shit?
It was good. It was tremendous.
Yellow?
It was just yellowish,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I another weekend I went and I tanged up with 30 Valiums. Yeah. And I was popping the Valiums. I was laying down on stage.
We're being arrested for the stories we're telling.
Oh, please. That's the smartest thing they could do. Do you ever wake up really fucking happy that this is not your life anymore?
Dude.
How many doors have opened for you since you said no to cocaine?
Well, it took a while in sobriety to realize that things were better. You know, like, it takes a long time to just get your life leveled off. It was all the podcast, dude. It was all the, you know, we're talking 2009, 2010, when it started to make a, you know, it was, you know, before that, it was over. It was over. Like, I really, my manager couldn't do nothing for me. Booking agent couldn't do nothing for me. It was fucking the worst.
I went through a divorce.
Well, 2007, 2000, you know, the divorce finalized 2007, 2008. And I guess, you know, I was kind of tapped out money-wise, had a little savings, and we started doing the podcast in New York. And then I just got in it. You know, I liked this mic. You know, I liked doing this. But I didn't. There was no way to make money, and, you know, comedy gigs weren't really happening. And I had to erase my, you know, I was involved with the political dialogue because I was doing, you know, the lefty talk radio, but I didn't want to do that anymore because it was too narrow, and I just wanted to talk about other things. So it took a couple of years to sort of, you know, reestablish or just establish myself in general. And then that's when it started happening, you know, like, because of the fucking podcast. There was just like years of being, people knew me. I was in the game. I'd done Conan. I'd done Letterman. I'd done all that shit, but I wasn't selling tickets. No one knew me who was going to buy tickets. I had no draw. I had no, you know, I'd had opportunities. I had deals. Nothing really came to pass.
MySpace, you went to. I was there.
This is nothing. I thought that, you know, I made some money on Air America that first year because they were just dropping cash because they, you know, they didn't know better. So I stashed all that money, and it was the first time I ever made money. That was 2004, and then she left me 2006. So all that money fucking went away, and that just really was. I didn't know what I was going to do. If I was going to sell the house, there was no. I used to do a joke about it. It's like, you know, you get to a point where, you know, there's no turning back. There was never a plan B. Because, like, you get to, you know, at certain junctures in your life, you sit there and you're like, oh, fuck this. I could always. Nothing. There's nothing. There's nothing there. What are you going to do? You know, so there's that realization. You know, like, no, fucking, what am I going to do? And we're proud motherfuckers, too. That's the other thing. I don't know how the fuck people quit this thing. At that moment, I'd rather die. Then, like, I'm done. What are you going to walk away from? Then run into people? Like, hey, Joey, hey, what are you doing now? A buddy of mine's got a furniture store. Got nice shit there, mid-century stuff. Maybe you come by. Like, there was one time where I was in a furniture store, and Jimmy Kimmel came in. You know, I'd met him a couple times. I think I was doing the podcast already. But I was looking around the store, and I think for a second he thought I worked there. And it was so embarrassing because I went up to a waiter. But did you think I worked there? He's like, no. You did. You thought I worked there. Oh. And I don't know how fucking people do that.
I can't believe you just said this.
What?
Yeah, now I go to the store Thursday night. First off, about 3 days before that, I got a call from an ex-comic. And he's trying to give me an ear beating. About a comic today that's kind of hot.
Yeah.
I said to him, before this goes any longer, what do you give a fuck?
Yeah.
Well, I knew him back then, and now he won't answer my email. Listen, don't bother him no more. You know, yeah. Comedian. So, you know, it just bothered me that this guy had sent my friend. I go down to the comic store, and there's another dude down there. He quit the store, and I put the story together later on. But he was one of those guys that hung out at the store every night.
Yeah.
And, you know, had stories and, you know, he might have get up and he would sign up on the sign up list and he would torment you.
Yeah.
He would torment you the whole fucking. He didn't drink. He didn't get high, which made it even worse. I'm trying to work on my fucking suntan here.
Yeah.
And this guy's over here giving me an ear beating. He's not getting, trying to just piss on your leg. Every fucking night he'd piss on your fucking leg.
Yeah.
And then one night he got into it with Chewy. I think Chewy bit slapped him. He called 911. The store said, don't come down no more. Okay. He disappears.
Chewy.
He's lurking. Over the years, I've heard he's lurked. This had to be 2003. Next thing you fucking know, I get out of the car. And there he is the other night.
The other night?
Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing?
They never go away completely.
You know what he said to me, Mom?
What?
Hey, so you still come here. And he goes, I'm done. I walked away from it. I was one of the smart ones.
Uh-huh.
I have four beautiful girls and
really,
the real estate business.
Oh, yeah.
Everything is great. I look at this place. It's falling apart. And I, you know, I'm old school. I wanted to unload, but I know what difference would it make?
Yeah.
This guy's living in some hellhole in Florida telling people when he.
So why did he go back?
Just to do that.
Yeah.
Just to do that.
That's how that idiot wins. And you know what you do when that happens? You go up to Eric and go, don't let that guy sit in the room. Don't let that guy in.
Oh. I got a call about a month ago from an ex-female comic, and she was at the store,
mm-hmm.
and they made her wait online. Is there anybody I could call? I said.
To do what?
To get her in.
I said, you should have stayed a comic, bud. I got to call you back out of Minneapolis. Bam, hung up on it.
One time I was at the store. One time I was at the store. And, you know, for whatever it's worth, you know, Kenneth and whatever relationship I have with him, I respect him as a comic. But he was a bully and he was not a great guy. And he put me through a lot of shit as a kid. And, but like, you know, his brother, Bill, you know, whatever you think of Bill, it doesn't matter. You know, I've never met him. Yeah, I don't need to.
I read the book, but I've never met
him. I don't need to throw nobody under the bus, but I knew Bill, and you know what? You know, it's water under the bridge in a way. But one night I was at the store, it's not too long ago, and Bill and his wife, they're all dressed up, you know, and they're walking around like they're lost. And they're just, you know, he goes, like, what's going on here? I don't know anybody anymore. And I was just sort of like, yeah, it's what happens, you know, and he's just like crestfallen. And I just watched them walk away, and I was like, over. It's over. It's not your place anymore. You know, sometimes, like, you know, that place, the thing about, well, if you have a relationship with that store, like, you're happy for it now. You're happy for the fucking building. You're like, you know what I mean? Because that place was so fucking haunted and so dark and so weird at different points for different reasons. Like, you know.
It's still haunted.
No, I know.
The haunt didn't go away.
It's not as haunted. Did you go down the basement?
Never again.
Send a chicken down
they
there.
They keep calling me to do a podcast. Where is it? The basement. Wait for me.
I walked down there the first time the other night. And
how's
I was
it
like,
look?
It's nothing. Just shit. Just boxes of shit. There's some stuff down there.
Yeah. Go and sniff the walls. Bring a dog down there that sniffs bodies. I guarantee what's in those fucking walls.
Yeah, I didn't read too much into
that
it.
That fucking,
the one thing I noticed is I've been talking about that fucking stool in the OR for 2 or 3 months now. Right? It's fucked up. It's going to hurt somebody. But I'm doing a bit about it, so I'm okay with it. And I've talked about it on and on, you know, for weeks. I went down the basement for the first time the other day. There's like 3 fucking new stools down there, just sitting down there. So God bless them. They're like, don't put a new one up. Marin's got this great bit. We don't fuck his bit up. Just sitting down there.
I don't trust it downstairs. This passage is all the way to the back. So you guys go to the front where you can still see daylight.
Right, right. Yeah,
that's cool. You got to do Jacques Cousteau type shit.
Oh, I would have called Blake Clark.
You got to go deep back into the murky waters of the underworld.
There's some of those guys that have the real ghost stories. They're old door guys. Blake, Harris Pete. I got to track those guys down. I ran into Blake. I should call him. How long are we doing?
We're going to do some shout-outs. We'll do 15 more minutes. I'll get you the fuck out of here. My main man, Matt Bake, up there in Bakersfield, BJJ. Vladimir Ragnar. My man, Daniel Lyons, Pilates for Men, the book. Pearly Sweet Lester, Chad Rizzi, Sean Begley, Ookie Spooky, and a beautiful son, James Harrison, Parrish Mikey, Tabitha Stevens, and DJ motherfucking React. How you feeling over there, Lee, all right?
Yeah.
Good. You're out there staring into the fucking hemisphere.
We opened up with 800. That's a lot.
I can't believe, like, since I quit coke.
Yeah.
I got married.
Yeah.
I had a kid. I'm out of debt.
Of course you are.
It was. I did the math, Mark, of what I was spending towards the end. It was horrific, Mark. The last 4 years. The last 4 years cost my house. Afterward, the damage was $636 a month for 6 years. We got to pay.
The weird thing is I never craved that shit.
Oh, now?
Never.
Oh, no, no, now, no, no, no.
But like some drugs, like, you know, I know you still do the weed and shit. Now, like, yeah, I don't do nothing except these fucking nicotine things. Like, occasionally, you know, like, I appreciate weed, you know, and I think about it. But, like, the blow, what a waste.
Waste. I told, if right now I did blow, first off, I would just break the promise that I made to myself. And number two, I think I would die eventually. Because my life would turn around. That aura would come back.
Oh, yeah. You'd get all sweaty. You'd go right down the shitter.
I would lose my daughter. I would lose my career. I just know I'm one of those guys. There's no going back to that.
Yeah, I think you should always remember you lived under a rocket.
Always.
Remember the rocket.
I was talking about doing heroin last week. And they cut the clip down. And I was looking at myself talking about it. And I felt so bad for myself that was the point in my life I was at. But I really thought heroin would cure cocaine addiction. For the whole summer, I would do a line of coke on Mondays. What happens to you, Mike Maron?
Is you're negotiating with the monster, the demon. If you have the demon, you're always in some sort of negotiation with it. That was Jim Carroll wrote that about. It was interesting. Jim Carroll, you know, the junkie poet, moon rock guy. After Cobain died, there's a line in a poem he wrote, a eulogy. To Kurt Cobain. I don't know. You could probably find it. Jim Carroll, eulogy, Kurt Cobain. But the line was something like, you know, he should have negotiated with the monkey. And that's all. That's what it becomes. It's all a negotiation. You just got to figure out what you're going to live with. You know, it's going to come out somewhere, right? It's going to come out somewhere. Did you find it?
Six fragments.
Yeah, or probably
eight fragments.
Yeah. What's the monkey line? Is it possible to track it? It's not that long a poem. But he wrote this.
Okay. What, I'm looking for about a monkey?
Yeah. Hope I'm not making it up. But,
There we go.
What is it?
You should have failed. You should have talked more like...
You should have talked more with the monkey. He's always willing to negotiate. The monkey on your fucking back. He should have talked more with the monkey. He's always willing to negotiate.
Did you ever negotiate with your monkey?
I'm always negotiating with my monkey. Every fucking day.
Oh, my God.
Every fucking day. That's what, you know, it's like, you know, you deal with the monkey, and then you deal with whatever you think God is. You know what I mean? If you don't think it's God or whatever. Once you get past the monkey, you got to realize this is what life is like, and I got to live it, you know, not end it. So... Jesus.
At what age, you know how they say in AA that you give your life to
something.
Something like that. You know, I was 29 years old and I go, you know what? Here's the deal. I get up in the morning. I pay my bills. I like the party. Okay.
Yeah.
So instead of two 8-balls a week from now on, I'll do one. Yeah. And I stuck to that for years.
Well, that's how I felt, too. It's like I'm only doing it Wednesday through Saturday. Yeah.
No, I would just go one night deep into murky water, jerking off, showers.
Yeah.
You know, jerking off. And then it'd
take 3 days to pull back from.
Your friend to come over and give you a back rub and get creepy on the phone with her. You know, I would, you call your best friend up at 3, listen, you gotta come over, Linda.
This is the worst. We're jerking off for like 4 hours. Like this, I'm winning. This is like, you know, boy, cocaine's great. Can't call anybody now. I guess I'll just do this for fucking 3 hours.
There was a girl that I took to a party in Boulder one time. I knew her from the restaurant. We were friends. I knew her parents. But I had heard through the grapevine, that she was a fucking savage, Mark. A savage.
Mm-hmm.
But before the party, I got a call to put together packages.
Yeah.
And they totaled like 2 ounces. So I made a ton of money and I made a ton of blow. It's one of those nights where you're walking around with like 9 grams. You're like, oh my God, all I need is to bump into a savage. And I took it to this party, and we did a couple bumps, and then we went back to my place, and we drank some wine. I'll never forget going. I went in the bathroom, and I still had a big rock, like I had like a 6.5 gram rock.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at her and thinking about the rock and going, so you want me to call a cab? You want me to call a cab for you? And she's like, okay. And she left, and I remember I did that whole package and jerked off, and showers, and bottles of booze. I'm like, a week later, I go, why did I do that? She was right there.
Yeah.
That's how greedy I was. This is 1995.
Greedy, but it's also you had full control of the situation. Who the hell knows what it is?
Let me tell you something. I bumped into that bitch 99 in Miami, and I set that freak straight, Jack.
He made up.
Oh, my God. She was living like in one of those cities, and she called me like a week before. Hey, yeah. Are they going to be at the Miami Improv? Let me come down and visit you
I'll tell you a story. One time I could come out here. I would come out. That's when I met you. I'd come out for these weeks to do whatever, meetings or whatever, and get coke with, Bob. And one time, I signed up, I don't want to mention names. Doesn't matter. But I end up with this girl who works at the agency that I'm just about to start with, This is way back when I'm still using. This is about 20 years ago, 18 years ago. And we end up, I'm doing blow, and she doesn't know I'm doing blow, but, we're out and we're eating and everything. We end up back her place, and I can't fucking get it up. I'm just coke dick. I can't do nothing. And, I try, and I try, and I'm, embarrassed because, I'm just going to be starting at the agency. At least I could do is show up for this, but I get anxious, and I'm coke dick, and I can't fuck. And I'm like, God damn it. And we just had to quit. She's just like, yeah, enough. And I'm like, God damn it. So I left and I went back to the hotel and I couldn't sleep. And I'm like, God damn it. I did some more lines. I drank some more. And then I stopped and I waited 4 hours. I couldn't sleep at 6 a.m. I drove back to her house. I'm like, hey, I can do it. I can do it. I wake her up and I get up there and I just fuck her really good. And I'm like, all right. Okay. We good? All right. Nice to see you. And then I left. I'm back. So thank God. How fucking nuts is that? 6 a.m. I'm like, I'm ready. Give me another shot. And I'm so glad I delivered the goods. She didn't really remember.
I was thinking.
I'm so proud of myself. It's not as important a memory to her as it is to me.
I was thinking about, and I told Lee this story when I first got divorced. When we first separated, I had tons of dough in the bank and I had money and credit cards and fuck it, I could sit in my apartment and whack off. I had a condo in Boulder.
Yeah.
But across the street from me was a friend that copped where I copped. She was a nurse at the Boulder Memorial Hospital. And I'd go over there at 2 a.m. and I'd see her with the blue suits on, copping to go home.
Yeah.
And we'd say hello to each other. And, one day I said, let me just fucking take a walk over there. So I would get all coked up. Get my dog and walk across the street and walk on the third floor. I was just looking around and I see her on the couch by herself.
Doing the same thing you were, jerking off.
Oh my God, with a little crack in the window.
Yeah, yeah.
And she'd be there with pajamas and a robe and I could see she's trying to watch TV all fucked up. And I would knock on the door. Oh my God, are you up? Oh, me too. Come in. I go in there. We lay down together. This is from the first time. She's like, oh, sit next to me.
Yeah.
And then after 7 minutes, she'd take my helmet up. She'd suck it, and she'd put it back in, and she'd keep watching TV, all right, I'll see you tomorrow. And that was it. That was our whole relationship. So, but that was a side story. I knew her brother.
Yeah.
So I bump into her brother. He comes to one of the Denver shows.
Yeah.
And he's all happy, and I said, walking
by the
Comedy Works last year.
Oh, yeah?
He goes, hey, I found out about you and my sister. You had a good time. Both of you is all fucked up. I go, what are you talking? And I denied it.
That's crazy. Just,
oh, yeah, she used to suck your dick and fuck you and stuff. Oh, how embarrassing. But I got a Christmas card, so he's mad.
What happened to her?
She married, and she's in Boulder.
All right.
And that was it.
Everybody happy ending.
Mark Maron, I want to congratulate you and thank you for coming on this show. It was a pleasure just talking.
Always good to see you.
You're always a pleasure.
Now I'm all sweaty. I think I got a drip. Yeah, I think I got a little.
Oh, my God. I couldn't handle any of that stuff. This lifestyle, this going from.
We're too old, buddy. That's another thing. We're too fucking old. We made it through. Too old.
You think we got a shot to live a long time like Keith Richards?
I hope so.
And fucking Johnny Depp.
Well, he's negotiating. He doesn't do that shit no more, but he drinks. Some of you guys, you get your thing and you just sort of like, I'm okay. I can live okay on this and not hurt myself.
70 years old.
I interviewed him and he was pretty loopy, but it was cute,
You think people still do blow at that age?
I think he'll do it occasionally. I bet you he'll do a bump, but he don't do it regular. I think he just sort of kind of does the alcohol maintenance, maybe some weed. But I think on a nice occasion, he'd probably do a line or two.
I couldn't even imagine. And like I said, I have no desire. I lost that aura. People don't offer me no more in towns. I don't go looking for it. Do you miss it? Any part of it?
No, I can jerk off for hours without it. if I need to. Do I miss any part of it? You know what you miss is knowing you're going to get it. That's the weird thing. You know what you miss is that when you do the package, like, oh, that moment where you're like, I got it. That moment, that feeling that, like, it's going to be okay tonight. It's going to be okay. It never is. It's never a good time. But no, that excitement of when you hang up the phone, I'm coming now. And you're going to get it.
You got to take a shit first because your intestines are emptying and you shit everything from Thanksgiving, the turkey leg, the fucking cranberry
sauce. The first line, you know. You
have no idea.
First line when you, like, you know you're getting it and then you go over and the guy's like, God. I got it. And you, like, you put it out and you're like, there it is. And you do the first two bumps. I miss that. But everything after that I can live without.
I miss the blackout on the drive to the ATM and to go to the dealer's house. I would just black out. I was running red lights at the end.
No, I don't miss. I was
running red lights at the end, Marc Maron. I would not stop till I got to the Hollywood. What's the Ralphs? Rock and Roll Ralphs?
Yeah.
The ATM there?
Yeah.
I would double park right on Sunset like I own the strip. And I would go in there, take 60, go right down the block.
Where, at Western?
No, Sunset and fucking right there on Sunset Rock and Roll
Ralphs. Oh, yeah.
Across from the fucking the hotel there.
Yeah.
And I would go shoot down the block, and that was the original package.
Yeah.
If I had extra dough on the way home from the store, I go to El Compadre.
Yeah.
And I get the backup package.
Yeah.
So the two dealers didn't know
that
you found something. Yeah. Nobody knew. I had a couple dealers at the end.
Yeah.
And then if I ran out of, like, the one dealer always had really good coke, but the one dealer was Menza Mort from time to time.
Yeah.
So if I went home and that dealer was out, I'd string it out to about a quarter to two because I had a dealer that got off work right there on Boulevard.
You had a full-time job.
Oh, my God. Can you believe this? Full-time job. And a guy once told me, if you think of all the energy you put into to doing drugs.
Oh, yes.
Think of the fucking shit could happen when you don't do drugs.
And also, you live in a different pace, a different life. You enjoy real things. You're not a fucking animal. You're not a freak. Because, you know, when you're in that, you're hanging around with people that do that, and you think that that's a life. And then, like, normal people, or not even normal people, but even just relatively normal people are like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, I had that horrible moment where, like, you know, some chick came to visit me when I was living at Crest Hill, and, you know, I knew from college, and we were doing the all-night thing, and, you know, we fucked, and it was crazy, devil sex, and, like, you know, we were up all night, and she didn't really do that shit, and I, you know, I was sitting there going, like, this is amazing, man, no one fucking lives like this, we're fucking living, and, like a few weeks later, I got a handwritten letter, basically said, you know, no one would want to live like that, you know, I don't know what you think you're doing, and I was like, oh, shit, you're off the grid, you know, you're off the grid, you're living an outlaw life, you know.
I miss the times. I like my sleep now. I like my peace of mind.
Yeah.
The peace of mind is the most important thing, that nothing's lurking. I'm not missing nothing.
Right.
And the last 5 years, I was just doing it by myself and jerking off and looking out a window. And
now you got your beautiful kid. You got your cats. You got a wife. You got comedy. You got friends. You got a podcast. You're not all sweaty all the time from that anyway. Oh. And we're doing a show. We're on a show together tomorrow night.
Man. No, Wednesday night. Philippe, Wednesday. 9 o'clock Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Pacific, IFC. I think it comes on twice.
Yeah.
So it comes on twice. So, but we get it at 6 also. You got to get the special cable. Like, you get the Sopranos at 6, then the regular people got it at 9.
Right. The East Coast feed. East Coast feed, yeah.
But yeah, please watch it. Mark gave me a great opportunity. I want to thank you
again,
my brother. I love you too. I'm just going to read ads if you want to
scoodle.
You could skadoodle. You want to wait 2 minutes there?
Go ahead.
Let me get what you got, Lee Syatt. Thank you again very much for coming.
Thank you for having me. I love it.
You're a fucking gentleman and a scholar. As usual, you know me. I love my underwear. For years, I went out without underwear. I was so broke. Now I love underwear. So whether you're wearing a suit or sweats, you spend 24 hours a day in your underwear. But instead of making a statement like Superman's tights under his everyday clothes, your underwear are probably boring. They got skid marks in them, all that dirty stuff. MeUndies is here to change that. Every pair of MeUndies is made with substantially sourced modal, a fabric that's twice as soft as cotton. Tremendous. Nothing can describe the fit and the feel of MeUndies. But once you try them on, you understand why they're called the world's most comfortable underwear. When I work out, go to the gym, when I go to jiu-jitsu, bam! I got MeUndies on. It keeps my nutsack fresh. No moisture. It pulls it out of there. And if you don't love your first pair of MeUndies, They're free, no questions asked. Like I said, nothing describes the fit and feel of MeUndies. But once you try them on, ba-boom. MeUndies has dozens of styles, limited edition prints, to help you make a statement with your undies, okay? Whether anyone can see them or not. Remember Superman? All right, the party's over. This is what I'm going to do as member of the church. Shipping is free in the U.S. and Canada, so you could save up to $8 a pair with the MeUndies subscription plan. Get the MeUndies subscription or a single pair. Get 20% off your first order when you go to MeUndies.com/Joey. Again, 20% off your first order when you go to MeUndies.com/Joey. That's MeUndies.com/Joey. I'm giving you 20% off, all right? I want to thank MeUndies. Number two, listen, we all love magazines. You know, Mark's got glasses. He likes magazines when you get on a plane.
Yeah.
We like reading Rolling Stone. We like, but sometimes you look at Rolling Stones, and I buy Rolling Stone sometimes for one fucking article.
Yeah.
And that's it. You look at the pictures in front. Pictures, oh, here's, here's Joni Collins. You know, with fucking Bruce Springsteen. That's it. After that, you're like, what the fuck did I get the rest of this for? To read about Rihanna getting tackled?
I don't know.
I don't need this aggravation in my fucking life. All right. Here's the beauty of it. Thanks to pizza, we're all binge eating. Thanks to Netflix, we're all been binge watching. But now with Texture, you can start binge reading. Trust me, it's about to be the big thing. When it comes to magazines, you know what you like, and with Texture, you can get all the magazine you want in one super convenient place. Texture has completely reimagined magazines, reimaged magazines, reimagined. What the fuck am I talking about? I gotta stop smoking reefer. Reimaged magazines, giving you the articles and stories you really want, all in one place, plus interactive features, videos, and recommendations just for you. The Texture app lets you tap into the world's most popular magazine anytime, anywhere, using your smartphone or your tablet. If you're going to fly, you download what you want, you bring it up on the plane, zzz, there you go. Breeze through hundreds of your favorite magazines, including back issues, and pick the articles that interest you the most. Texture has made it easy to find articles you care about. Listen, I don't just want to read Rolling Stone and Mechanics. What's that mechanic thing you like to read? What the fuck is it? Motor Trend. I'm sorry. Motor Trend Mechanics. The Texture editorial team recommends content for me every day. Plus, I can dive deeper into the personalized collections. All right? Do me a favor. Sign up for Texture right now and gain insight into all the content from the world's best publications. I'm talking ESPN Magazine, All Recipes, Domino, PC Magazine, Prevention, Men's Journal, Men's Fitness, blah, 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 blah. I mean, they got everything. Hello, Cosmopolitan, Latina, you know, they got everything on here. So do yourself a favor and do me a favor. Go to Texture right now for a free trial. When you go to texture.com/Joey, you gain immediate entry into all the top magazines, including back issues and bonus video content. Start binge reading for free right now on me when you go to texture.com/Joey. That's texture.com/Joey. How you like that, Mark Maron?
Good job,
you know,
Joe.
You I'm a fucking savage. You know why? Shroom Tech from fucking on it. The quadricep mushrooms expand my lungs because they grow it up in the high altitude, and that's why I could talk shit for 2 fucking hours. If not, I'd be over here dying already from a heart attack. Beautiful. So do me a favor. Go to onit.com. Take a look at the Alpha Brain or the Hemp Force protein. What did they get, Lee? What's the code?
The code is CHURCH, and they get 10% off.
CHURCH. I want to thank my main man, Mark Maron. Don't forget, the episode's called Philippe, Wednesday night, the 8th, 6 p.m. California time, 9 p.m.
6 p.m. if you got the Eastern feed.
That's right. If not, you got to wait till 9 like the fucking regular people on Silver Lake. I love you guys. Thank you very much for listening tonight. Thank you, Mark Maron.
Thank you, Joe.
Thursday, Friday, I'll see you motherfuckers in Omaha, Nebraska at the Funny Bone. What? And
okay.
2 weeks, I'll be in Philadelphia at Helium, you fucking dirty cocksuckers. Get ready. I'm coming to your town. I'll see you Friday night, 2 shows. Saturday, 2 shows. Funny Bone. Omaha, motherfucking Nebraska, sponsored by 10th Planet, motherfucking Omaha. I'll see you cocksuckers there.
This show is brought to you by Texture. Gain access to all of the top magazines, including back issues and bonus video content at texture.com/Joey. And the best part, Texture is offering our listeners a free trial right now when you go to texture.com/Joey. That's texture.com/Joey. And the show is brought to you by MeUndies. Go to MeUndies.com/Joey right now and check out all of their men's and women's underwear, socks, t-shirts. They have amazing clothing that's the most comfortable you're ever going to wear. And the best part, shipping is free in the U.S. and Canada when you go to MeUndies.com/Joey, and you also get 20% off of your first order. That's MeUndies.com/Joey, and go to Onnit.com and use code word CHURCH to save 10% on all of the great optimization products like Alpha Brain, New Mood, Shroom Tech Immune, and Shroom Tech Sport.
You ever play that clip?
Which one? No.